Well, I thank the Lord for a gospel of hope.
Amen.
We have a gospel of hope that is based on reality. It's not a baseless hope. It's not a hope where, well, I hope that, you know, in 12 months it's going to be a sunny day on such and such a date, you know. But we have a hope that is based on the promises of the Lord.
Yes.
And we serve a God that when we fail, thank the Lord, He's willing to reach down His hand and pick us back up. And set our feet on solid ground.
Amen.
And put a new song in our heart.
Sometimes
we need a new song, don't we?
Yes.
Sometimes we get in a place and we feel a little down and discouraged. And, you know, sometimes our biggest enemy is ourselves, and we're discouraged with ourselves sometimes more than anybody else. But the Lord has a way of giving us a new song to lift us up. So tonight we have no reason not to move forward.
Amen.
With courage,
yes.
With hope, and with expectation. I have a message that I'd like to share with you tonight and trust that you'll take it with you. I don't know if anybody needs it tonight, but I suspect at some point along the way in your life, it'll be good to keep in mind. And I'd like to start in the 14th chapter of Mark. 14th chapter of Mark, and we'll start in the 53rd verse. Now, this is taking off where Jesus had spent a little bit of time in Gethsemane, where it said that His sweat was as great drops of blood. And He was in agony and in torment, looking forward to that thing that was facing Him, difficult place in life. And Judas had just betrayed Him, and now Jesus was led away to the council. And that's where we'll pick up in the 53rd verse. It said, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with Him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed Him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the account goes on, and they begin to try Jesus unjustly. And they began to accuse the Lord of things that just were flat not true. And in the 65th verse it said, and they began to spit on Him and to cover His face and to buffet Him and told Him to prophesy. And it said the servants did strike Him with the palms of their hands. And the 66th verse said, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and she said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little later, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, it said that he wept. Isn't that a sad account?
Yes, it is.
I don't have a corner on this market. I've never liked that account. So always made me just feel sad. I feel bad for both Jesus and Peter. My heart goes out to Jesus because Jesus was preparing to face the most difficult time of his life. And he knew it. And he was betrayed. His closest ones had just gone to sleep on him when he was in Gethsemane. And now facing death, facing not just death, but listen, facing crucifixion. I don't know if you've read up on crucifixion, but it's actually worse than it sounds. And he knew he was facing that. And at that time of his life, isn't that when you want? You want those closest to you to at least have some support?
Yes.
But Jesus didn't even have that.
No.
You see, they had left him. And he's over there across the room. And then, not only did they leave him, but he was betrayed and denied that they even knew him. That Peter, I don't know where the other ones were. Now it's felt bad for Jesus. I think about Peter too. You know why I think, I've said this a lot of times before, Peter, he's about my favorite character in the Bible, and I'm probably not the only one that likes Peter. You know why I think there's something about Peter that we're drawn to is because I think sometimes we see ourselves in Peter. There's so many things about Peter that I think that we see ourselves sometimes. And I believe, I'm convinced that Peter loved Jesus. Peter loved Jesus. And here is Peter who had been called by the Lord specifically. And Peter left all and followed him. Don't forget that. We give Peter a bad rap. I always try to defend him. As soon as I use him as an example of what not to do, I find myself also defending him. Peter, don't forget, left all and he followed Jesus. As we mentioned the other day, it was Peter that got out of the boat and walked on the water, not the others. But Peter had left all and followed the Lord. And he had walked with the Lord. And the Lord had given him personal instruction. And he had been able to watch the blind eye see. And he'd been able to watch the lame walk again. And he'd been able to see the dead rise up again. And he had been with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He had seen all of that. He had heard all of that. And yet, now at this time, the one that he loved had seen all, had to have been convinced he was Lord. Peter's the one. It was Peter that said, when all the disciples left, and the Lord turned around and said, y'all going to go away too? And Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. This was that Peter. And yet, in this moment of weakness, he was caught in a moment of weakness, and he betrayed the Lord, and he couldn't, and the Lord looked at him. My. With all that was going on, and the space that was between them, because Peter said was afar off. And Jesus is getting beaten and blindfolded and hit. And he looked across the room through it all, and he locked eyes with Peter and looked at him. I don't think he looked at him with judgment and hatred, maybe disappointment, maybe a little sorrow, loneliness, care, sympathy, mercy. That's our Lord. And oh, when he looked at Peter, said that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Couldn't redo it. And so I've always... He couldn't redo it right then. There's another part of that story that'll come. But there he was. And so I've always felt for Peter, and I want to premise it with that. But I believe there's some lessons here to get, because before Peter started weeping bitterly, did you catch what it said? That's what it said. He called to mind what the Lord had told him, and then he thought on it, and when he thought thereon, he wept. He wept. When he called to mind and he thought on it. Verse 54 tells us, and Peter followed him afar off. And so I'd like to work through, what was Peter thinking about when he thought? He was following the Lord afar off, is what it says. And I wonder tonight how the Lord would categorize you and me as to how closely we're following the Lord. Are you following the Lord afar off? Would the Lord categorize me as following far off or close? See, have you ever heard someone say, well, he makes pretty good money? Well, what does that mean? He makes good money. What does good mean? See, it's relative. Maybe it's good to me, but for somebody else, it's not good at all. And regardless of what I think, get a hold of this. Regardless of what I think good is, if it can't pay the bills to give me food and shelter, it's not good enough. If it doesn't sustain life, then regardless of how good I think the money is, it's not good enough, because I can't sustain life with that. And regardless of how good other people may think I am, regardless of how others may categorize how closely or how far away I'm following Jesus, really, in the end, it's what matters is what Jesus thinks.
Yeah, that's right.
That's really all that matters. We can all get together and put our arms around each other and congratulate each other on how close we're following the Lord and tell each other we're doing a saintly job of this thing. We're examples. And we can have a false sense of security. Multitudes have that today. It ought to be a cautionary note to us. And we could feel, but is it going to make any difference in the end if it doesn't sustain life? If I don't get to the end of the way and hear the Lord say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant of the Lord. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It will mean nothing. And so I wonder tonight, how does the Lord view me? This message is for me too. And it's for you. And I want you to think about yourself. Because a lot of times we are so quick to say, everything's good. I'm following the Lord. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Are you a disciple? Yeah, I'm a disciple. What is a disciple? It's a follower of Christ. Well, are you following Christ? Well, yeah, I'm following Christ. How close is He? Are you holding His hand? Are you right there on His backside so that wherever He goes, you're right there? Or are you afar off? Are you content to just kind of sort of try to keep eye contact with Him? I mean, at least Peter, he followed Him afar off. He had that opportunity, put himself in the position for Jesus to make eye contact. I'm not trying to discount that. But I want to tell you, we're going to have to do more than follow afar off. We're going to have to be closer than afar off. And I don't want the Lord to say of me, I know who Rod is. Sometimes he's there and sometimes he's gone. And I'm never quite sure when he's going to be there. Sometimes it seems like he's really on fire for the Lord. It seems like he's really got a lot of zeal. And other times I look around and I go, where's Rod? And he's not there. You know, there's people like that. I don't want to follow afar off. I don't think that Peter, even while he followed afar off, You see, I don't think he wanted to completely disassociate himself from Jesus because, like I said, I think he loved him. But at this point, at this moment, Peter did not want that association to cause him trouble. He didn't want that association to cause him trouble. He wanted to be close to Jesus because he didn't just run. But he didn't want to cause him trouble that night. And it says in the 67th verse, "And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked on him and she said, 'You are with Jesus of Nazareth.' But listen to what he said. But he denied, saying, 'I know not. And I don't understand what it is that you're saying.'" And I want to tell you tonight what I'm alarmed about. I have increasing alarm over the way that I see the Christian world going, but I'm going to bring it way closer than that. My alarm is increasing with even what I see creeping in among us, where there are too many that are following the Lord from afar, and they are warming themselves by the fire and comfort of the world, with the servants of the world. Did you notice that it said that Peter sat down and warmed himself at the fire with who? It said with his servants. And then you read a few verses down. I'll confess, I didn't pick this up until just recently. It was the servants that he was sitting with that were persecuting Jesus. And I wonder, I don't wonder, I know, I am concerned that we are too apt to bring in the servants of the world whose purpose is to defile and to corrupt and to make impure. And we bring the servants of the world where we are and we warm ourselves by their fire. And then we say, "Well, I'm not in the fire. I'm not one of them. I mean, I'm just here. I'm warm and I'm concerned about that." There's too much of that going on. And it won't get us to heaven. It creates a distance between us and the Lord that won't get us where we want to go. And I hear people saying things just like Peter said. Did that register with you like it did with me to think what Peter said? They said, you're one of the ones that was with Jesus. And he said something, it to me it didn't make any sense. It was almost like he didn't understand what language they were speaking in. He says, "Well, I don't understand." You don't understand what? And then he said it. He said, "I know not, neither understand I what you're saying." And I hear that today. People are right among us. They grow up among us. They hear the truth. God's given us talents of knowledge, of truth. And then they want to go warm themselves by the fire of the world. And somebody comes along and says, "What about this? I thought you were a Christian." And, "Well, I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't understand. I'm confused about what you're saying because I don't see anything wrong with this. I don't get what you're saying." You say, "No, I mean this is coordinated and correlated and in conjunction with the servants of the world, and you're getting off course here. The Lord's over here and you're over here." And so, "Well, I don't understand. I don't see it that way." Not being true to themselves, and they're not being faithful to the people who have gone before them and taught them. I want to read a verse in Proverbs 24:12. This verse has stood out to me often. It says, 24 and 12, if thou sayest, behold, we know it not. Well, we didn't know. We didn't understand. Behold, if thou sayest, behold, we know it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Doesn't that give you pause? Yes. That's why we quoted the scripture the other night in Hebrews, the second chapter and the first verse. It says, therefore, because of this, you, particularly us that have been around the truth, young people, listen to this message. You ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard from your godly parents, from godly people that are concerned about you, from ministers, from teachers, from the Word of God, from the Spirit that whispers in your ear. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time... See, Peter got caught up in that any time. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. And what? Stand before the Son of Man. And so he said, take heed, lest at any time these things will slip from you. I don't want to let these things slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and it is, and every disobedience and transgression received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape? If we neglect? Or if we deny? I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't see it that way. If you neglect so great a salvation, we've been given so much. We've been blessed with so much. We have the best that life has to offer if we'll follow the Lord.
That's right.
This is the Master that's saying, follow me. Yes. Why would we want to turn away from that? And then we neglect it, deny that we know it, and act like, well, it doesn't make any sense. And, well, I haven't really ever heard. I've never really heard anything that really tells me why I shouldn't be able to do this. Really? Really? You've never heard anything that says why we should live a careful, separate, simple, holy life where we're the temple of God? We have, folks.
Yes.
We have heard. It is important. Don't neglect it. Don't deny it. Tonight, we live in a world that is promoting all kinds of things that are ungodly. And they're all around us. They're in and up in our homes, a click away. Right there. Sometimes it's not even a click away. Be careful. And don't consciously bring things into your home that you know is going to spew out things that's the servants of the world. And warm yourself by that fire and say, well, I can navigate through it. I can block out. Don't do that.
Amen.
Don't follow afar off with that. Don't give the enemy a place. Give no place to the enemy, the scripture says. Don't give him a place. Get him out of there.
Yes. Amen.
Don't warm yourself by that fire.
That's true.
And we live in a world that is promoting so much and defining right and wrong in such obscure manner. In fact, it's just going away. Everything's gray. You get to define right and wrong as you want to define it. You get to define it. And if other people don't agree with it, well, that's okay as long as they don't condemn you. And pretty soon we're just all one happy Christian family whose everybody's going to the same place, living in a direct contradictory way to what the Scripture outlines. That's why Paul said, therefore, we ought to give, not heed, not more heed, but more earnest heed.
Yes.
Why? Because our lives are at stake.
Yes.
That's why. Our lives are at stake. And the Lord wants good for us.
Right.
Remember? the expected end of peace? The Lord has an expected end. He wants good things for us. He wants us to have abundant life. He doesn't want us to have just a life full of dead ends and false hopes and disappointments and broken homes. The Lord wants good things for us. So that's why He says not to be a hard taskmaster, but to say, take careful heed to what you heard. Follow it. Observe it. Follow close. So that you're not lost. So that you don't end up in these destitute, disappointed, broken places where there are consequences that you can't reverse. You know what? Young folks, if you make the wrong decisions and you really mess your lives up, the Lord can save you. But I want to tell you this. Sometimes there's consequences that follow that you cannot reverse.
That's right.
The Lord has grace and He has help and He has salvation and He will save. But there are some consequences that we have to live with. And the Lord wants to protect us from those things. And so that's why there are doctrines of holiness that are outlined in the Scriptures. It's for our good. It's because He's trying to give us a roadmap for abundant life. It's not so that He can just have His own select little clique that just looks different, acts different, so He can say, I see those different people. The world wears red, so I'm wearing blue. And when the world wears blue, well, we'll wear red. No, it's because the Lord knows what's good for us. He knows what's good for us, and that's what He wants for us.
Amen.
And so He says, follow me. Follow me close.
Yes.
Don't warm yourself by that. It's dangerous. You get burned eventually.
Yes.
And I was struck by this too. Did you know that if you decide in your mind that you're going to follow afar off, it almost invariably leads to more distance down the road. Did you notice that Peter was following afar off, and after he denied the Lord the first time, what did it say he did? Then he went out on the porch. Now he went somewhere else. That struck me. We think we can decide, well, I'm not going to get too carried away with this Christian thing, but I want to live right, and the Lord knows my heart. And everybody else might not agree with me because they're kind of, you know, simple-minded and maybe they're taken a little too far. Sometimes people think that. And they think, but the Lord knows my heart and I can do this and keep the right heart. And so I'm going to follow afar off, but maybe from the church, from God's people. But we'll kind of wander around. Listen, this is what, you just look at the history and see what happens. It's never just like this. It's always kind of like this.
Yes.
You know, the more and more room starts to occur.
Yes, that's true.
Be careful. That's why the Lord. That's why the Scripture is faithful to us, to tell us. Be careful, young people. Be careful. I think often of the parable of the 10 virgins. And we won't read it for the sake of time tonight. And there's a lot of things, there's so many things in that parable that we could get a hold of. But the thing that strikes me tonight is that there were 5 foolish virgins who hung out with 5 wise virgins. Or at least they must have been pretty close contact, because when the Lord came back, the 5 foolish virgins asked the 5 wise virgins, hey, we ran out of oil. You got some oil for us?
Yeah.
No. They were a people that were largely unspotted from the world. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
They weren't categorized as gross sinners. They were categorized as virgins, but they were foolish virgins. And they ran out of oil. And when they left to go get oil, when the Lord called their name, the Lord came back at a time of His choosing. Young people, middle-aged folks, and old folks.
That's right.
The Lord does not come back at a time of your choosing.
Right.
Comes back at a time of His choosing.
Yes.
And you are not guaranteed tomorrow.
Right.
Not guaranteed tomorrow.
Right.
There was a flight that just went down the other day with a bunch of people on it, young people, never having an idea that that'd be the last day of their lives.
No.
You don't get to decide that. And when the Lord came back, they were found wanting without oil. And it said that while they were out trying to find oil, the door was shut, never to be opened again. And do you remember what they said when they came back? Did they come back and they say, "We're here. We're here. Open up. We're ready to come in." Did they say, "Sir, we're here. Would you open up for us?" No. Did they say, "Lord, we're here"? No, that's not what they said either. They said, "Lord, Lord." Do you sense the urgency, the desperation? Lord, Lord. And I couldn't help but also think about the pilot on that plane that went down in the French Alps. You know, the stories that are coming out about the tapes of hearing the pilot that went out of that cockpit door. And when he came back, they said they heard a light knock to start with. You know, open up. And then it became more frantic. And pretty soon he's beating on the door. And then he's trying to tear the door down. But the door was shut. It was shut, never to be opened again. Frantic because of the impending judgment that was just moments away, and they could do nothing about it. I don't know when my judgment's going to be, and you don't know when yours is, but I will tell you what, I know this. I don't want some of the little things, I'm going to call them little because in the scheme of things they are, some of the little things that we sell our soul for, a bowl of pottage or beans, sell our inheritance, our birthright, for a bowl of beans. Because we want just a little bit extra to the flesh here. We don't think this is quite necessary over here. And I'm not trying to... We're human and we're made of flesh, and I know we're drawn to things in life, but I also know they hurt us. And God just wants us to get a vision of the pain that this stuff eventually causes, because it looks so good. It holds so much promise, the things that the world has to offer. It holds so much promise, and yet it's a dead end and destruction at the end. I cannot imagine hearing those words. "I never knew you. The door is shut. It isn't going to open." For what? I had a man that worked for me several years back, and he started having heart problems at work. So he called his wife, and he said, "Honey, I've got problems." And I can't remember if he drove home or she came and picked him up. And he said, and he was relating this to me with urgency afterwards, he said... he was on his way, and he said, "We better go to the hospital. This is getting bad. Let's go to the hospital 2 hours north because it's a better hospital. They'll take better care of me." They were about 15 minutes, turned around 15 minutes down the road heading for that hospital. And it just got worse and worse. And pretty soon he said, "I'm not going to make it. It isn't going to work. Turn around and go back to the little hospital in the little town. I'm not going to make it." And things continued to escalate. And he thought he was going to die. And by the time they got done, his wife was driving, and he said, about 100 miles an hour. They had a police car behind him trying to pull him over because they were speeding. And he said, "Rod, I was crying out to God." He said, "My wife was right there beside me." He said, he cared about his wife. He said, "I wasn't thinking about my wife. I wasn't thinking about my 401k. I wasn't thinking about all of the things that seem so important to us in this life." He thought he was going to die, and he said, "Rod, I knew there were things in my life that were not right." He's a minister. He said, "I knew there were things in my life that weren't right." And all he could think about, he was desperate. And he woke up to the doctors, you know, hollering with his hooked up to the monitor that he just about died. And it scared him, and it should have. You see, we can go for a period of time and make excuses. and find reasons to justify cutting the corners that we're cutting.
Yes.
Or walking afar off.
Yes.
And finding reasons why we don't have to get so close. But here's the thing. And you might convince yourself, you can get a big crowd of people, they'll agree with you, and you can all feel good and go forward. But here's the thing. God's truth doesn't change. The truth of the Lord, it doesn't change. It stays the same all the time. Truth will stand. I want to read in Malachi 3 and 6. Listen to this. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. I'm the Lord and I don't change." And verse 8 said, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." Did you know that God has given us knowledge? God has given us the understanding many times that we need to live for Him. And then we subvert it. We don't use it to His glory. It says, "Know ye not? You've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in what?" What did it say? In your body and in your spirit.
Yes.
Both. Glorify God because you're His. You're His temple. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And we claim the name of Christ and Christianity, and then we follow afar off, and the Lord says, "Wait a minute. You're robbing me something here. You're misrepresenting me. You're trying to take something that's not yours." And what do the people say? "Well, where have we robbed God? Where have we done anything wrong? I don't understand. Yet ye have robbed me." But ye say, "Wherein have we robbed thee?" And in verse 13, he says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, well, what have we spoken so much against thee? What have we done so much against thee?" And so, yes, I fear that in the world today, too many professed Christians are warming themselves by the fire of the world and its comfort. And we don't have, and speaking generally, we don't have the sense of urgency that the Lord would have us to have about the things above. And we're too careless to let things come in sometimes. And we devalue the value of following close to the Lord and recognizing the Lord's looking for an humble person who is willing to wholly follow Him.
Yes.
And make decisions that are directionally sound.
Yes.
That tend to bring us closer to the Lord.
Yes.
Not farther away.
Yes.
Because there's going to come a time when the Lord is going to call all of our names. And then you will stand just like you are. And if you are lacking oil, or you have justified to yourself things that aren't consistent with what you've been taught, what the Bible teaches, what the Spirit of the Lord has taught, and you've tried to figure it out, the Lord will let you do it in this life because He gives us the right to choose. But there's going to come a day, saints, where we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to have to give an account.
Yes.
And if we're on, I'm going to say it this way, if we're on the hell side of the door that's shut,
yes,
the tears that we shed are going to be even more bitter tears,
yes, right,
than the tears that Peter shed.
Yes.
Because there's no more opportunity. And we knew.
Yes.
We might say in this life, "Well, I don't understand." I repeated this a lot of times. I was at the Alabama singing one year, and there was a man from the community that was there, hadn't grown up around the church, and he got up and he testified and he said, "So many times people say, well, I don't really understand what the Lord wants. I really don't know." He said, "I was about ready to die." He said, "It became real clear what the Lord wanted." It became real clear what the Lord wanted. If we're honest with ourselves, we the Lord's faithful to us. And it's going to be anguish and bitter tears, particularly because we knew. Do you remember what Daniel said to Belshazzar? when he came to interpret the writing on the wall, he recounted what his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had gone through, and he got all done telling Belshazzar what he should have known, and he got all done and he said, "And you knew this. You knew all of this. And now here you are using the instruments of the temple for yourself to consume it upon your own lust. And you're worshiping every idol out there but the one true God." Does it sound familiar? Aren't we supposed to be the temple?
Yes.
I have instruments. My hands, my eyes, my feet, my ears.
Yes.
What am I doing with them?
Yes.
I don't want to take those from the temple that's intended to be God's temple and begin to use them for myself when I was intended to bring glory to the Lord and live for Him. And oh, by the way, a wonderful byproduct and result of that is that I get a wonderful, abundant life. That's how the Lord designed it. We live to glorify Him and we get to enjoy the fruit of it. I don't want to be in the place where the Lord comes by, like the shipmaster said to Jonah, and said, "What is this? What does this mean? Why are you doing this?" And Daniel got all done and he told him, "And you knew all this." And so the writing on the wall, this is what it says. "Thou art weighed in the balances, and you're found wanting. Because you knew. And tonight's your night." Didn't seem like that was going to be the night. That was a night full of festivities. Looked like he was on top of the world. Lost his kingdom that night. Lost his life that night. And he lost his soul that night. "You've been weighed in the balance, and you're found wanting." I don't want to be weighed in the balance, and I don't want to be found wanting. I want, by the help of the Lord, to call to mind. I want to call to mind the things that I've been taught. I want to call to mind the Word of the Lord. I want to call to mind those times where His Spirit whispered in my ear and convicted me about something that maybe now I feel no conviction over because I've just continued to run over the Spirit and I do it and now I don't understand. I don't see anything wrong with it, people say. Maybe they don't. They're deceived. But I want to go back. Wasn't it Lamentation that says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto God"? May we do that every day. Call to mind and think thereon. Because we can have an end like Peter.
Yes.
See, Peter's end really was very good. The Lord granted him repentance. And the Lord came back. And I love this story when the angel was in the tomb and they came and the angel told Mary, and Mary I guess it was, said, "Go tell the disciples that Jesus is risen, and Peter too." Go tell Peter. He's feeling bad over there because he rejected, you know, he looked the other way and denied me. But you go tell him that I'm risen.
Yes.
There's still opportunity.
Yes.
There's still opportunity to make things right. Oh, be filled with the Spirit tonight.
Yes.
Be filled with the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to fill your hearts like Peter did. To where we can go out into the world with power, with authority. That we live like we live because we want to and not because we feel like we have to.
Right.
Filling out a checklist and just living to a bunch of rules doesn't bring soul peace, saints. It won't grant you heaven either because none of us deserve it. But you get your heart right. You follow close. You let the Lord live in you. And He'll create a new heart within you to the place that these things that we're talking about, you will want to do them. And you go, "Yeah, I understand that. I get it now. Thank you, Lord."
Yes.
Let your testimony be like Peter's testimony. And like Paul's testimony. Paul, he turned around too, didn't he? But he got to the end of the way and he said, "Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith.
Yes.
Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love His appearing."
Yes,
tonight,
yes.
If you have to make a course correction, This is our opportunity.
Amen.
God hasn't called you yet. The door's not shut yet. You still have opportunity. The Lord's still there saying, come on.
Yes.
Come follow me. You've got forgiveness. I want to go before you. I want to have abundant life for you. I want to spare you the consequence of sin. I want to give you the good life. Still opportunity. Take advantage of it.
Yes.
Don't go all the way and get to the end and hear those words. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Pray for me. I want to be true.